Advice, Matthew chapter 2. There is this glitch in our operating system that most of us default to into thinking that there really is such a thing as smooth sailing ahead. We've all got this idea that if I can just get past what I'm going through right now, everything's going to be a whole lot better. There might be some more, but it won't be as bad as this. If I could just get over this hump, smooth sailing ahead. We're ever surprised when the next storm system appears on our five-day forecast. What? More trouble? I wasn't expecting this. You would think people as experienced at life as you and I would know a little bit better. But then, of course, there are people on the other end of the spectrum. There are a few among us who anticipate nothing but hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, earthquakes, and hailstorms. They lie awake at night consumed with fear and with dread, worry about this could happen and that could develop into something worse and it's all going to be terrible. Every little rain shower that comes by, they hit the storm cellar and they cower in fear. The biblical perspective is that as long as we're in this world, we will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. Our peace is not vested in the fact that there's never going to be anything wrong again. Our peace is vested in the fact that even when the storm hits, He'll be with us. He has helped us through before, and He's going to help us through again. Everything we've been through is history that will tell us the same God that was with us yesterday is going to be with us today and on into tomorrow. So be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Father, oh, life's a hoot. It gives us some comfort to know that the greats of the Bible went through some rather traumatic experiences of their own. You obviously love them and cared over them. And you do the same for us. As we go through our twists and our turns, help us, Lord, to have faith, to gain strength, endurance, to believe in the goodness of our God, and to endure for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When they had gone, well, who are they? The Magi. They had come to worship the young child. They had brought wonderful gifts along with them, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They spoke these wonderful prophetic words over the child and this young family. What a great day that must have been, being so affirming. Can you imagine Mary turning to Joseph or Joseph turning to Mary and saying, "Well, if this is what life is going to be like, it's going to be pretty good. People are going to come by, bring expensive gifts out of the blue, and say wonderful things about the child. I can get into this raising the Messiah kind of a thing. Won't it be a wonderful life that we have been called to?" Based on that day's experience, it sure looked like it was going to be a wonderful life. And boy, if that's what life was going to be like, it would be so good. That very night, an angel appeared to Joseph and said, "Get up. Get out of here. Somebody's trying to kill the child. Get out of here as quickly as you can." Now this becomes a pattern in Jesus' life, if not in every believer's life. They had the visit of the Magi. "Oh, you better run for your life." Do you see how diametrically opposed those two experiences are? Later on, Jesus would be baptized in water, and the Spirit would come down in the form of a dove, and the Father would speak from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love. Ooh, in him I'm well pleased." Woohoo! Pretty good. What was the next thing that happened? He was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Aye, and he was hungry. Yoy. Tough days. There was a transfiguration up on the mountain. Moses and Elijah appeared and strengthened Jesus, and they had such wonderful communion there. They came down off the mountain, and they found people arguing with the disciples. And Jesus actually breathes a sigh of exasperation. How long am I going to put up with this faithless generation? Oh, to be back up on the mountain rather than down in the valley. There was the triumphal entry. They waved the palm branches. They put their coats on the ground. They shouted his praise. Oh, how wonderful. But what happened by the end of the week? There was the crucifixion. Good things, bad things. A sign that everything was going to be great. Things couldn't have been more miserable. What's going on? This was a pattern. And if as a believer you don't understand that pattern in your own life, you're in for some great disappointment. You're in for some letdown, discouragement, doubt. Your faith might even be tested to the point of exhaustion. I found a similar pattern in my own life. Great experience with God, difficult journey ahead. Almost makes you look around and say, uh-oh. Baptized in water. That was a wonderful experience as a young man, but boy, what a dry season followed. I had a similar experience with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That was such a dynamic encounter with God. But boy, what followed was so taxing and difficult. In fact, you might conclude, maybe I didn't experience what I experienced. Maybe that didn't really happen. Maybe that was just some emotional thing. Maybe that wasn't even God. But again, look at the scriptures. Look at the pattern of the scriptures. And you'll find out the blessing prepares us for the desert. The reason we have a dynamic time with God isn't just to make us feel good. That's a byproduct. That's a bonus. But he's preparing us. He's getting us ready. Son, oh boy, what's coming? Here, you're going to need this. You'll need this anointing. You'll need this teaching. You'll need to have this assurance as you carry on in your life. The blessings prepare. So here it is. Here's the revelation of the morning. We are spiritual camels. We are spiritual camels. When you come to a refreshing place, when you come to an oasis, when things are going well, drink it up for all it's worth. Just fill that hump up with all you can get, because, friend, I'm telling you, there's a desert to cross. You're not just having an experience to have an experience. As a young Pentecostal, I used to live from experience to experience. And I used to think the good times were God, the bad times were the devil, and I couldn't wait to get to the next oasis. You hear what I'm saying? You felt ungodly, you felt like you sinned somewhere if you weren't always excited all the time. No, that's not it. God prepares you, and then God leads you. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, then he was led by the Spirit out into the desert to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. If I was Jesus, I'd be pretty angry at the Spirit. Hey, wait a second. That felt so good getting anointed, and this is where you have me? Come on now. But we are spiritual camels. God does not dynamically meet with us every day of our life. It's just experience. But there are moments when he'll knock your socks off. Oh, you wish you could stay there. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. He walks with us, talks with us. How many found out life's not always tremendously wonderful? Not every day is a holiday. And even some of the holidays can be taxing sometimes. But there's some good news in that too. I heard a preacher on the radio the other day say, every new thing is birthed in the dark. So even in your desert, God is preparing for something better. It has a purpose. It has a reason. So Magi visited, gave them great gifts. Run for your life. Well, they ran for their life, but they were fulfilling prophecy. They didn't know it, but they were fulfilling prophecy with every step. There was that wilderness temptation, 40 days and 40 nights, no eating, tested of the devil sorely. What happened after that? It says he was led of the Spirit out of the desert, and the power of God was on him. That's when his miracle campaign began. He started healing the sick, raising the dead. His name spread everywhere. He was filled with power because he endured the desert. When he came down off the mountain from the transfiguration, the people were arguing and so on and so forth. But it was shortly after that, he set his face like flint. He knew what was happening. He knew what was going to happen in that final week. And now he had resolve. He was not vested in this world. He was vested in the next. And of course, there was a crucifixion. But what happened after that? There was a resurrection. So you are a spiritual camel. God gets you all filled, strengthened to go through whatever you are going through. You already know you've been preloaded. Oh, I think I needed to spend a little bit more time at that well. No, God knows exactly what you need. He's got you prepared for this. And after you have endured for a little while, God will lift you up and strengthen you beyond what you had known before. But note the suddenness of this evacuation. The angel didn't say, now Joseph, in the morning, first thing I want you to head for. He didn't say, you know, sometime next week, before the end of the month, you want to be sure to be out of here. None of that. He said, get up, escape. And it says a little later there, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for. That's pretty sudden, wouldn't you say? That's quite a joy. Here you are, you're basking in the glory of the day. The Magi and all the wonderful things they said. Yeah, you're thinking about the great gifts that they brought by. Wow, God, what a wonderful day. Hallelujah. Could life get any better? Boom, get out of here. They're going to try to kill the boy. What? What? No, that must be the devil. That must be the enemy just poking at me. How do you put those two things together? What they had just experienced, and now all of a sudden in the middle of the night, they have to run for their lives. I imagine being a 1 or a 2-year-old and rousted out of your sleep and taken out into the cold, into the night air. I wonder how far they got before morning broke. I hope it was a full moon. Did they even know where they were going? It may not have looked like it, but they were under divine protection. The angel came and said, we need to get out of here right now. Now, doesn't that sound ironic? Fleeing under divine protection? You would think, if you are under divine protection, you don't have to run anywhere. I got God watching over me. And so just try to mess with me. Think about all the visits they've already had from angels, all the great promises that have come their way. And now God is saying, I got to run? Well, ask Paul. Remember he was let down in a basket over the wall in Damascus? The great apostle Paul. And we got to get you out of here right now. And Peter. Peter's asleep. He's chained between guards and they're going to execute him the next day, or at least take him to trial for the next day. The angel kicks him in the side and says, hurry, get up and get dressed. Apparently, angels are in a hurry. I don't know. I got to do brunch with Gabriel or Michael. I don't know what they've got on their schedule. But hurry, we got to get going. I guess if God tells you to hurry, you better hurry. But it doesn't make sense. If this is God's plan, if this is the way God, if God's got this all covered, you got it all, he's sovereign, he's got it all figured out, surely I could just kind of strut rather than run, right? Well, I guess if God says to hurry, you better hurry. Ask Lot about that, or better yet, ask Mrs. Lot about that. When God says go, you better go. And these orders from God came abruptly. Have you ever had a discussion with God? Lord, I'd like a little more lead time here. This is a little bit too tight. If you're in charge of this, I was expecting, you know, red carpets, margin. But it gets down to the wire. We were praying along with the Flickingers for Angie to find an apartment. They have moved from Hong Kong to England, to near London, I think it is. And they were looking for an apartment. And again, will the visas come in time? Will the this, will the that, you know, getting packed up, will that stuff arrive? You ever wonder, if I am being led of God, why isn't it easier? Shouldn't life be easier than this? Let's vote this morning. How many would like an easier life? A little more lead time on the trouble, a little bit more angel muscle when things get tight, you know, just, wow. But Jesus actually warned his followers. He said, look, guys, there's going to come a time when stuff's going to happen in Jerusalem. And when you see this, don't even go home for your coat. You run. You just get out of there. If you don't, but we walk with Jesus. I'm a king's kid. I've got angels, guardian angels over my soul. Surely I don't have to be. And he said, don't be afraid, but run. Don't be afraid, but run. Well, Lord, how does that fit together? How am I going to figure all of this? No, don't figure it out. Just go. Okay. Being rushed, being hurried, under stress or duress, that's not an unusual experience for the people of God. Can you say amen? Now, how often do you feel guilty for feeling stressed, for feeling hurried, for... Well, let me remove your guilt today. Sometimes God is the source of the you better hurry. We got to get this done right now. Yeah. I can imagine women going home and thanking their husbands for having rushed them to church today, pushed them to get to their appointment on time, and right? Well, maybe not. All this came about suddenly at night while they were sleeping. Come on, God. Couldn't you? You've got heaven and earth at your command. You could let me finish a good night's sleep, couldn't you? Nobody here has ever had that discussion with God, you know. Lord, I don't know who ever came up with that saying, sleeping like a baby. They never had a baby. I'll tell you that much. Or at least one like we had. Oh, for a good night's sleep. Why in the world, in the middle of the night, if God has everything under control, what's up with this middle of the night stuff suddenly? And in those moments, life turned dramatically. And you've had it happen to you too. Things seemed to be going just fine. And then you got that phone call. And suddenly everybody had to run and prepare and get ready and go and do and be what you hadn't been ever before. If Joseph wondered about why the urgency, what's the deal here, pal? Why do we have to hurry? The angel tells him, Herod's going to try to kill the boy. What? wait a second. Herod's going to, yeah, run for your life, son. Get your family and get out of here. This is important. It was traumatic. Middle of the night, how many think very clearly in the middle of the night when you get woken up? And trying to make sure everything's good to go and get out of there as quick as you possibly can. Merry Christmas indeed. All was not calm, not at all bright. And remember, all those promises, what happened to all that good talk? You know, that Zechariah the priest and Elizabeth and Mary poured out all of them, the prophecies about this child, Son of the Most High. He will deliver his people, Prince of Peace. Yeah, well, before he delivers the nation, he better run for his life. Does that make sense to us? Do we put those pieces together? If you're Joseph, can you process this? Lord, I heard what you said. Isn't that true? Because what we're experiencing doesn't seem to match what we heard. What we believe and have acted on and staked our lives to. I thought that it would be a whole lot easier. I thought there'd be a whole lot more divine help in all of this. If we really have to be in Egypt so quick, what about those horses with wings? Pegasus, that's what they call it. Lord, why don't you come up with a couple Pegasuses? Or that chariot that took Elijah to heaven. That would be great, huh? Well, that would really be cool. Hey, quick, get up. The chariot's outside waiting for you. You'll be in Egypt by morning. Wow. No. Divine inspiration to take your little feet and your donkey and whatever you have and get to Egypt as quick as you can. I don't know how quick you can get to Egypt from, but it took them a while. He's going to be the Prince of Peace. But first he has to survive the terrible twos. And not because he's terrible, but because they're trying to kill him during his twos. Joseph, it's your job to keep this child alive. Now get him to safety. God, what? Lord, I think you should have called an army. It's just, I'm a carpenter, okay? I don't have a black belt in anything. I got a tool belt. I got a hammer, not weapons. Let me get this straight. This is your son, and I'm supposed to guard. King Herod and his guard, they're coming, and I'm supposed to guard the boy. No, just get out of here. Oh. I wonder if Joseph ever mumbled. They call a God, God's son, angels, oh glorious, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Where's the peace? Where's the goodwill? Yoy. You know, trauma can ruin your life even after you get to safety. Or it can cause you to grasp life more fully. We've all been through trauma. We've all lost loved ones. We've all been to places that really freaked us out. I mean, undid our nerves. You can let that ruin you. Lose all your faith in everything. It must not be true. And on and on. Or it can cause you to grasp life with a freshness and newness. Well, you know what? All of Israel was after us, but God saw to it that just in time we got on the road and he saved us from that. And you know what? God will always be here for us. It may not always be comfortable. It may not be our plan, what we thought was going to happen. That's all right. I appreciate my brother Ray. He and I often have discussions about different topics, theological and so on, and we both have agreed we're not going to become so tied to our doctrine that we don't have, leave room for God to do what God wants to do. Because if there's one thing we've discovered about God, he's a God of surprises. What you are expecting and what he does is often two different things. I mean, in retrospect, you could say, well, okay, I can see how that kind of fits in what you said, but I didn't expect this, Lord. No, but you can trust me no matter what. God doesn't allow difficulties in order to break us. Remember that when you're in the middle of it. He's allowing this to build you. Oh, it doesn't feel... it's okay. It's all right to feel that way. It's all right to feel hurried. It's all right to feel stressed. It's all right to feel miserable from time to time. It's part of the process. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. But this piece doesn't look like it fits at all, God. Just wait. Just wait. Knock off pettiness. Give up unimportant priority. But God, I always wanted so. Yeah. So. I guess I'll never. Whatever. Give up your idols. Refocus on what really matters. That's what trauma can do. It gets you down to the skinny of it all. How often do we see the tornadoes have been through, the flood came through, the hurricane? And what do the people say? Well, at least we're alive. At least we're alive. Maybe the week before they were all obsessed over how they were going to decorate for the holidays. And now that's the furthest thing from their minds. Maybe they even had an argument. I'm talking about other kinds of couples, not the kinds we have here today. Maybe they got in an argument over how they were going to decorate for the holidays. Maybe they got in an argument over what kind of meal they were going to have or what color the carpet should be in the living room. Well, now it's brown, okay? The flood has come through and now it's just brown. That's what color the carpet is now. And trauma should refocus us on what really matters. It should make us better. It should get rid of that pettiness and the idolatry that is so prevalent in our hearts anymore. So already they've moved from Nazareth to Bethlehem in order to accommodate this child. It needs to be born in Bethlehem. How are we going? Well, there's an edict from the... Okay, well, right. That was pretty tough. We resettled now. Whew. You know, Bethlehem's a pretty nice place. I think we'll be here a while. I wonder if they hadn't said that to each other just that day. You know what? I'm kind of feeling like we're going to be here for a while. Bethlehem's a kind of a nice place. I like the neighbors. How about you? Yeah, that's pretty good. Quick, get out of here now. What? Okay. Suddenly, traumatically, alteringly, this is going to alter your life. You worried about you had to move from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's a completely different neighborhood within the same nation and so on. Well, guess what? Now you got to get out of the country completely. Wow. What are we going to do for a living, God? Where are we going to stay? How are we going to get there? New country now. There would be language and cultural changes. The fear of the... Don't you hate the fear of the unknown? What's it going to be like? This is still a very young couple facing some very difficult circumstances. What will it be like in Egypt? Now, we know from history that at this time in history, there was a large Jewish population in Egypt. But I wonder if either Joseph or Mary even knew that. They just have to take their new baby and run. God's call, his will, often calls us out of our comfort zone into the unknown. You ever get mad at your GPS in your car or on your phone? You ever ever get mad at your GPS, your God's positioning system? Lord, I don't think this is where we should be right now. I don't think this is where we should be going. I'm not sure this is what should be happening. Do you have anything at all in your life you would change if you could? Just anything. Can you think of anything off the top of your head? Oh, how many have a growing list right now? As soon as I said that, bing, 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 you're trying to prioritize. Oh, no. You came up with number one, but now it's number three because you thought of two others that should be ahead of that. And oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Suddenly, traumatically, alteringly, here we are. What's next? Costly. If only it had cost the gifts that the Magi brought to get them from here to there, that would have been fine. But the cost staggers us today when we look at it. The death of every child 2 years and younger, every male child 2 years and younger in that whole area. I was thinking about that this morning. So Jesus was born in a manger. We figure it was about 2 years later that the Magi visited. That's why he had him killed 2 years and younger. How many of those children did Mary and Joseph know? They had babies together. Mothers seemed to find one another, right? I wonder if they ever felt guilty. Well, gee, if it wasn't for us, if we hadn't moved to Bethlehem in the first place, maybe those little babies would still be alive. Maybe there was something else we could have done. No, there wasn't. I'm sure you've sometimes felt guilty over things you couldn't have controlled either. Why, Lord, why? Why? Why is it this way? It was this way for him because it's this way for us. And he was tempted and tried in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So even as a two-year-old, he went through nights of trauma and being swept off to somewhere else and putting up with parents who didn't understand and maybe even blamed each other or whatever, you know, just being human along the way. This is what it's like to be human. This is what it's like to follow God. It's not always easy. It's not always joyful. It's not always happy, happy, joy, joy. Maybe that's what we should tell new couples when they come together. You know what? Before this thing is over with, before you bury one another, you're going to feel like burying one another. There are going to be moments where you're going to look up at this guy, why did I get married? Why this one? Why this? Why that? Normal? Natural? Even godly in its outcome. We are tested. And boy, is it costly. Life is costly. You're not going to get out of life alive. That's all there is to it. And yet prophetically, suddenly, traumatically, alteringly, costly, and yet finally prophetically, this is God. This is how God works. Not that God causes all these events, including the murder of the innocents, but it was all foretold in the pages of the Old Testament. This is how God works. This is how life goes. But it's not what they told me it would be like. They said, you know, divine health and divine this and divine that. And yeah. Jesus is a toddler at best. He's not directing what's going on. He's just a toddler being swept along. And yet every step fulfills a prophecy to those coming after so they can find the Messiah. We know he's the Messiah because the Old Testament said this, and this is what happened to Jesus. Of the 332 prophecies Jesus fulfilled, at least 8 of them are connected with his birth and flight to Egypt. At least 8 of them. What are the chances that somebody would fulfill all 8 of these prophecies about birth and going to Egypt? Astronomically insane. We had an illustration in our study with the teens. If you had a stack of quarters a couple feet deep, and you stacked them together until you had the whole state of Texas filled with quarters, a couple feet deep, and you were looking for a specific quarter just to reach in and pull one out, and that would be the one you were looking for, The odds, those are the odds of somebody fulfilling all eight of these prophecies, Jesus' birth and gone on to Egypt. No one else in all human history has even come close. Why in the middle of the night? Why do we have to go to, why? Scripture, scripture, scripture. Nailed it. They didn't even know they were fulfilling scripture. That's what makes it the mystery of God, the fingerprint of the Lord. Being prophetic does not negate stress, trauma, cost, or confusion. The next time somebody tries to make you feel guilty for feeling stressed, go ahead and slap them. No, don't do that. But go ahead and feel like slapping them. That's all right. Stress was a part. Study the prophets. What did they do to Jeremiah when he told them the truth? You think that wasn't stressful? He begged the king, don't send me back to the dungeon or I'm going to die there. King said, okay, you can be chained in the courtyard instead. Oh, thanks. Appreciate that. So hear this. When traumatic, costly, life-altering events take you by surprise, they come on you suddenly. Don't waste a moment thinking, I must have missed God somewhere. This must be punishment because I made a wrong turn. I was wondering, should I do this or should I? I was praying about it. I must have discerned wrong. Did Jesus discern wrong? No. What happened to him? Oy. Trust that you've already been equipped. You're a spiritual camel. You already are equipped. It wouldn't happen to you if you're not ready for it. That's God's promise. You are a spiritual camel. When it's good, drink it in. When all is calm, all is bright, enjoy it. Love it. Don't have that cloud hang. Oh, I wonder what's next. Just enjoy it, because you need to drink it in as deep as you can. Get as healthy and as strong and relaxed and blessed as you possibly can. Because there will be a desert. But at the end of the desert, there'll be a prize you could not have achieved any other way. How many have said, I would not have chosen that for my life. I wouldn't want to go through it again, but I'm so glad that I did. Because look what the Lord has done. You are preloaded and will be rewarded for finishing this race. Would you stand with me this morning?